So Bert and Mary Turlington live beside Dave and Morley in a large semi-detached brick house. They've been neighbors for 15 years. And although their children are different ages, Adam Turlington 2 years younger than Stephanie, the Turlington twins 2 years older than Sam, they have spent, if not a lot of time together, enough time on the street in each other's backyard on various neighborhood and school committees to know each other well enough and to appreciate the other's neighborly presence. They would not under normal circumstances have become friends, but they are neighbors. And because they're neighbors, they have become friendly. Bert Turlington's a criminal lawyer. Dave has always enjoyed his company and his stories he likes to tell about his dubious clients. Mary Turlington's a chartered accountant, and Morley shares a view of the world with Mary, defined by the bonds of motherhood more than anything else. Though they have become friendly, they have not become close. No doubt because Mary and Dave have never found common ground. Dave thinks Mary's stiff. Mary thinks Dave is sanctimonious. There's something phony about him, she said to Bert last Saturday morning, all that anti-bourgeoisie stuff. The appearance he likes to give that he doesn't care about money, the music. It's like he thinks he's still in college. You watch, he'll be dressed like Adam tonight. He'll be wearing one of those grungy plaid shirts. Tonight was last Saturday night. Dave and Morley were expected at the Turlingtons for dinner. Morley was going to be late, something at the theater. I can leave when the curtain goes up, she said. I can be there soon after 8. Dave would be there at 6. At 2 o'clock that afternoon, Saturday afternoon, 4 hours before Dave was due to arrive, Mary Turlington was about to climb into the shower. She was standing in the bathroom, squinting suspiciously at a new bottle of Rainforest Nut Meat Hair Shampoo. Bert poked his head into the bathroom and said he was going to pick up some beer. Mary waved him away impatiently. She had two things on her mind that she wanted to do before she began cooking dinner. She wanted to wash and set her hair, and she wanted to clean the pots and pans. She had bought some new gunk that she'd seen advertised on television, stuff that was supposed to remove the rings from around the outsides of the pots. And the shampoo, it was new too. The Rainforest shampoo must have been some kind of a third world joke. It had promised on the container that she would step out of the shower as if she were stepping out of a tropical rainforest, with a sheeny head of lustrous hair cascading down her back. Just shake it dry, read the instructions. The water droplets will bounce away like dew. When Mary stepped out of the shower and shook her head, her hair moved in one sodden, helmety clump, like matted felt, like she had just shampooed with Elmer's glue. Damn, she said. It was 2:30 in the afternoon. It was going to take her half an hour to untangle a mess. She was planning to cook a risotto. She wasn't going to have the time to clean the pots and get dinner ready, and that didn't make her happy. The thought of preparing a risotto in front of Dave, who would sit at the kitchen table and drink a beer and yak at her while she cooked, the thought of Dave watching her prepare dinner in stained cookware, propelled Mary into doing something she's never done in her life. She bolted out of the bathroom with nothing on. She ran downstairs stark naked, and she began pulling all the pots and pans out of the pot cupboard. She was thinking that if she could get the gunk on the pots, they could season while she ran back upstairs and untangled her hair. And she'd be more or less back on schedule. Mary had never, ever been downstairs with no clothes on in her life. Never, ever. It's just not the sort of thing that Mary Turlington does. But she was alone in the house. Bert was getting the beer. The twins were at a movie. God knows where Adam was. And Mary was moving so fast she didn't even notice what it felt like to be nude in the kitchen. Now, Bert and Mary have a galley kitchen. It's small and contained and cut off from the rest of the house, one way in, one way out. Hold on. There's a large eating area adjacent to it with a sliding glass door that leads out onto their patio. Well, Mary had all the pots and the pans out of the cupboard and had arranged them upside down on the counter when someone knocked on the patio door. When they knocked, Mary lifted right off the ground and spun around and came down in a crouch facing the door and waited. They knocked again. She looked around desperately for something to cover herself. The only thing she could see was a tea towel hanging on the handle of the stove. She reached out and snatched it and held it out in front of her. Her what? It was not much bigger than a handkerchief. The tea towel was not much bigger than a handkerchief. The tea towel clearly wasn't up to the job. Her heart was racing. Don't panic, she thought, as she backed into the corner of the kitchen, waving the towel in front of her like a bullfighter, like some pathetic cast-off from the Playboy Channel. Don't panic, she thought. Whoever was knocking couldn't see her from the door. If she didn't do anything, surely they would go away. And then the glass door slid open. And Mary draped the tea towel over her head. Hello? Said a voice. Is anyone home? It was Dave. Who else? If she didn't move, surely he would go away. Hello, said Dave, louder, stepping into the family room. Yo, Dave! It was Bert coming up the basement stairs. Back from the beer store already? Now, Mary was not at this moment acting rationally. There was only one place to go. And so, with lizard-like agility, that's where Mary went. Head first into the cupboard she had just emptied of pots. The cupboard was directly under the countertop stove. Not much bigger than a dishwasher. It had two doors, separated by a 4-inch wooden post. Mary snaked around the post and folded herself up like a croissant. There was one shelf. It had always annoyed her because it wasn't nailed down and it rattled whenever she took a pot off it. If it hadn't been loose, she wouldn't have fit in there. She wouldn't have fit under normal circumstances in any case. She was carried into the cupboard on the wave of her anxiety. She lay there on her side in the fetal position with her back pressed against one wall and her feet pressing against the other, her knees pushing into her chest, her face smushed against the cupboard door. Dave was standing a few feet from her. No one's home at my place, he was saying, and I've locked myself out. I'm not sure if you guys still have a key. Bert disappeared and returned almost immediately. I thought she was upstairs, he said. She must have gone out to pick stuff up for dinner. I was just going to fix some lunch. Are you hungry? I'll make you an omelet. And then he said, I wonder why she has all the pots out like this. And Mary thought, he's going to open the cupboard. He's going to open the cupboard to check if there are any pots left. And she thought, what's going to happen when her husband reaches into the cupboard looking for a pan and comes out with a handful of his wife? What would he think had been going on? Walking into his house and finding his neighbor standing in his kitchen and his naked wife stuffed into the cupboard. If he opened the door, she was going to have to act fast. She'd jump out and yell, "Surprise!" She'd let the chips fall where they may. It was the best she could think of. Now, Mary is slightly claustrophobic at the best of times. She gets anxious when the subway stops inexplicably between the stations, when elevators seem to have arrived at the floor but the doors don't open, when the power goes off and everything is so black you can't see your hand. She couldn't see her hand now, and she was starting to get anxious. She felt like something was sitting on her chest. She could feel her heart beating rapidly, feel the moths beginning to flutter around in her stomach. She could also feel her leg going to sleep. She began to worry that there wasn't enough air in there with her. She felt like she had been canned. Her leg was beginning to cramp, and now it was starting to twitch. She thought of what happened to their dog's back leg when you scratched its belly. She felt like her leg was going to start banging away like that any moment. Jesus, if it started to thump away like that, like it was out of control and Bert opened the door and found her there. Oh my God, she thought. A half an hour passed, 45 minutes. The omelet was eaten and forgotten. She'd been in there an hour and 15 minutes. It was like a steam bath in there. And Dave and Bert were still sitting at the table picking at a cheesecake that was supposed to be for dessert. And then Bert said, "I was supposed to pick up some beer. You can come if you want, or you can stay." The Canadian Tire catalog just came in. You can stay and check it out if you want. Mary didn't hear what Dave decided. She heard the patio door open and close, and then she heard nothing. A deep and dead silence. She cracked the door, and light and cool air flooded into her predicament. She couldn't see anyone or anything, but she decided to wait for a few minutes. Even if she had opened the door completely, she wouldn't have seen Dave slouched on the couch in the family room, on the other side of the kitchen counter. He was clear out of view, staring morosely at the Canadian Tire catalog. He turned a few pages absentmindedly, and then he looked at his wrist and up at the phone on the wall. 25 minutes had passed since he had last called home. He stood up and he walked across the family room to the small white desk beside the phone. Just like Mary Turlington, he thought. Every piece of paper obsessively organized. There were cubby holes on the wall above the desk, each one carefully labeled bills to pay, filing, school notices, paychecks. Dave's eyes opened. There was an envelope in the slot marked paychecks. KPG, the accountancy firm where Mary worked. He reached out and he slid the envelope up an inch and a half. It had been slid open, but he could see through the little window that there was a check, or at least a check stub inside, and he dropped it back in place. He would have left it there if it had been Bert's check, but it was Mary's check. Mary, who always made him feel like he was a child. Mary, who always insinuated that running a record store was child's play, like he couldn't do that and be a serious adult. He always thought he made nearly as much money as she did, and this was his chance to find out. He picked the envelope up, and he turned it over in his hands, and then he pulled the pay stub out upside down, and then something startled him. There was a noise, a breath maybe, something he didn't quite hear, something he sensed more than he heard, more a presence than a sound, something that told him he wasn't alone. He felt like he was being watched. And he whirled around and, for the briefest moment, locked eyes with Mary. She was standing on the far side of the kitchen counter. And then she vanished. A pink blur that disappeared right in front of his eyes. Gone so fast that Dave couldn't register with certainty what exactly he had just seen. He dropped the paycheck back in the slot and he sat down on the couch, not completely certain what had happened and what he should do. Mary didn't appear again until Bert returned with a beer. Soon after Bert came home, Mary wandered downstairs in her Alfred Sung separates, wearing a string of pearls and looking her normally sophisticated self, except the zipper on the back of her skirt wasn't zipped completely shut. and Bert had to tuck in the label of her top, which was sticking out in a most un-Mary-like way. There was an odd air to the dinner that night, a vague undercurrent of something that Morley tried to quantify as she and Dave walked home. She started with Mary's hair. What did you think of it? She asked Dave. What, said Dave, I didn't notice. It was pretty high fashion, said Morley. All stiff and swept over to one side. Like it was glued or something. She kept going as she unlocked the front door, but there was something else, she said. I don't know what it was, something. Mary drank more than I've ever seen. And you didn't launch into one of your tirades against the Tories. Maybe you two are mellowing or something. Maybe, said Dave, he was heading upstairs. Maybe called Morley, we could see them more often. But Dave didn't answer. He was already out of sight, sitting on the edge of the bed, staring at the wall. Thank you.